Mobsters, Inc., episode number 2. This is Patty Pontiac, your host here. In late 1931, with the Mafia firmly in control, independent gangsters who won't play ball with the combination are eradicated. The notorious Jack Lake Diamond being the most prominent case in point. Luciano having brought the Italian elements, which becomes with Meyer Lansky's job to whip the Jewish gangsters into accordance. This is accomplished by the Franconia Conference in New York Hotel of that name. Jewish mobsters from around the nation attend, and the convincing is done by Lansky and Mo Dalis out of Cleveland and the Detroit Purple Gang. The triumph decision of the conference is perhaps quaintly stated by Lansky's partner, Bugsy Siegel. The Yids and the Dagos will no longer fight each other. It is an agreement long adhered to, which only minor expectations. Since when Bugsy Siegel himself was later hit with a combination vote of the Yids and the Dagos. 31. Al Capone is convicted on tax charges. Sentenced to 11 years in prison, he will never again return to the mob leadership, ending up in a hopeless, paretic, and morbidly brought on by ravages of unrelated syphilis contacted by in his early years and the whorehouse days. 1933. Prohibition ends. Many criminals are unable to make their transition to other criminal activities, although the Luciano Lansky Alliance thrives in gambling and legal booze trade. 1935. The Dutchman, Dutch Schultz, a.k.a. Arthur Flengerheimer, is murdered in a New Jersey steakhouse on orders from the National Commission because he insists on having Special Prosecutor Thomas E. Dewey murdered for prosecuting him. The other crime leads fear such an assassination will produce a firestorm of heat. The boys are also worried about Schultz, who will use the chaos to invade their rackets. Lucky Luciano, now the most powerful mobster in the nation, is convicted on compulsory prostitution charges and sentenced to 30 to 50 years, an incredible term at that time. The mob feels that it is bad rap concocted by Dewey with the aid of perjurers because he cannot nab Luciano on more serious charges. Machine gun Jack McGurn is shot dead in a Chicago bowling alley by an unknown gunman on the eve of the 7th anniversary of the St. Valentine's Day massacre, for which he has long been regarded as a prime gunman. Lansky organizes the big Cuban hotel gambling casinos after showering the dictator Fulgencio Batista the joys of depositing $2 million at a pop into a secret Swiss bank account. Batista was a very greedy dictator. 1940, Murder Incorporated turncoat Albert Kid Twist reforms on the crime syndicate, which testimony that will wreck the assassination outlet's role as the killing troop enforcement, including the commission's homicide decision. Many killers are convicted and some are doomed to the electric chair, being old Sparky up there in Sing Sing. Rellis becomes known as the canary who couldn't fly when he plunges from a 6th-floor Coney Island hotel, where he has been held in protective custody in a room where six police officers have been required to be with him at all times. The public is left to judge whether he fell, jumped, or was heaved out of the window. During World War II, naval intelligence, fearful of Nazi sabotage on the waterfront, solicits the cooperation of mob gangsters to secure the docks. The imprisoned Luciano approves the plan. 1944, Louis Lepke Bacalter dies in Sing Sing's electric chair, he becomes the first and only top mob figure to suffer that fate. Luciano was given commutation of his prison term by Governor Dewey, who says it's for his patriotic service. During the war, later the mobster's Dewey campaign was given $90,000 in small bills for the government's political war chest. After the deportation of Luciano, sneaks back into Cuba to preside over the major mob conference to settle syndicate affairs and decide what should be done about Bugsy Siegel, who was suspected of skimming off millions in construction costs while building the Flamingo in Vegas. The mob's first casino in Las Vegas, Bugsy was ordered to make up the money shortfall to stay alive. Luciano hopes to live in Havana and run American affairs from the offshore. The Cuban government is friendly to the idea, but is forced by the United States to deport Luciano to Italy once more. Wow, they're throwing him out of everywhere. 1947, Bugsy Siegel relaxes as he leans and he has been given most time, is then murdered while at ease. Having been released from prison in 1939, Al Capone is taken to his Florida mansion. Living outside the last 8 years between the periods of lucidity and mentally interior, totally unable to engage in mob activities. 1950-51, the Kefauver Committee launches an investigation on organized crime with televised hearings that hold the audience enthralled by a parade of top mob figures, most of them who take the Fifth. In retrospect, this does little to eliminate the mafia, but public awareness forces J. Edgar Hoover to alter the Federal Bureau of Investigation's traditional attitude that the mob does not exist. Senator Esther Kefauver Fame wins him a vice president nomination, but he loses in the Eisenhower landslide. 1957, Bugs Moran, the most important and surviving, he was like one of the last ones to run away even when he wouldn't get killed from Capone. The boss of the Capone and O'Banging gang dies in prison. His power has won at the 1929 St. Valentine's Day Massacre and was reduced to minor robberies that canned him for two 10-year sentences when he does not get the usual banging lavish mob funeral. Quickie burial on Potter's Field outside the prison walls. 1957, Albert Anastasia, so-called the Lord High Executioner of Murder, Inc., is killed in a Manhattan barbershop. The crime is sponsored by a number of high-level mobsters, not because Anastasia is kill crazy, but rather due to his attempt to cut himself in on part of the lucrative Cuban casino action. Clearly, the main movers behind the killings are Luciano, Lansky, Genovese, and Anastasia's underboss, Carlo Gambino. Following the Anastasia murder, a major underworld conference is held in Apalache, New York. The conference is cut short by a law enforcement raid. The main suspects behind the raid are Luciano, Lansky, and Gambino. This time with the addition of Frank Costello. Their target is Genovese, who clearly wishes no gain ultimate power in the mafia. He wants all Costello's empire, but the other bosses decree that Costello can retire in peace, with the conferences busted up Genovese in disgrace. 1959, the anti-Genovese plotters press their efforts by involving Genovese in a disastrous drug deal that lands him a 15-year prison term. He will die behind bars in 1969. The Gallo-Pavacci War results in major bloodshed in Brooklyn. Boss Joe Pavacci survives by splitting the Colombo faction from the Gallo brothers. A fragile peace finally is achieved by the mob bosses to suspect one another right in great measure of plotting against one another. 1962, the most prominent mafioso in America, Lucky Luciano, died of a heart attack in exile in Italy. By then, his power by the mob was greatly reduced, and he suspects his longtime partner, Meyer Lansky, has been shorting tributes to him. The nation, once again, is enthralled by crime hearings in the U.S. Senate Subcommittee on Investigations, in which informer Joseph Valachi reveals the standard procedures of many crime families, although Valachi is less informed that he himself thinks he has successfully absorbed much about La Cosa Nostra. He reveals the rules followed by the Crime Commission that handles decisions involving multifamily disputes as well as the succession of the new boss.